You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Thing on everyone's lips this week is none other than 3's new current affairs venture, The Project New Zealand. Since 2015, the channel has produced many short-lived projects, and exactly none of them have managed to impress viewers. I spoke to spin-off editor and television critic Duncan Grieve to learn more about what the show means for the state of journalism. So, ever since the departure of our dear friend John Campbell from 3's coveted 7pm slot, virtually every show that's come to replace it hasn't lasted more than a few months. I think Story was the longest at about a year. So, Duncan Grieve, is The Project New Zealand our saviour?
I think it's the best thing that's gone into this slot. As much as I love Come Dine With Me, New Zealand, and felt like it was unnecessarily thrown to the wolves, it wasn't really a long-term viable solution there. So the project kind of feels fit for purpose and different to what we currently have and modern in a way that the previous occupants haven't. And, you know, I think there's nothing certain, particularly at MediaWorks, which just has this kind of insane churn going, but I think it has the best shot of anything we've seen lately at filling that void, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously the show's gone for a more sort of conversational approach with the 7-day-style banter replacing hard-hitting news, which has worked in its favour for the most part, but it's also brought up this question about the current state of journalism. Do you think, you know, has chatting about the news replaced reporting on it?
I mean, it is, like that's undeniably what the sort of the function of the show is. I suppose what their counter-argument, and I have a lot of sympathy for this, is that, you know, audiences kind of have, they do essentially vote with their remotes, and in this era where the actual, where your access to reporting, if reporting is what you want, is essentially constant and infinite via the internet, you sort of need to do or to offer something different on television, particularly if you're seeking, as TV3 is, or as 3 is, a younger demographic. And that sort of conversations about the news can actually be quite helpful and illuminating in a way that sort of regurgitating the events of the day, which you might well already be privy to, might be less functional.
So do you think rather than it coming down to the adoption of like a privatized media model which places profit above knowledge, it's more just that audiences are kind of rejecting this sort of hard news?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a lot of kind of sort of people who are sort of strong advocates of public service broadcasting tend to have analyses of the state of journalism or the media that tends to critique it as a sort of, as the problem is the profit motive. I mean, to me, like, you can get extraordinarily good news products that are motivated by profit and incredibly bad ones which are motivated by nothing more than a desire to serve, you know. Like, I think the interesting thing for me has long been that MediaWorks and TV3 has had, I think by any objective measure, a better and more sort of fierce news product for decades now than TVNZ, you know, which has nominally got more of a mandate to deliver public service journalism. And yet MediaWorks is a privately owned company and currently private equity owned company. And so I think, you know, they're certainly not mutually exclusive. There'll be a lot of people, you know, I think especially older people who would look at a product like The Project and think that, and only see its flaws, only see the way it differs from what they imagine as a sort of golden age or idyllic vision of current affairs. And you know, like, you probably wouldn't design a show like The Project, you know, if all things being equal, but they're just not equal at the moment. You know, we live in a completely different era from both an audience appetite and a news distribution techniques than the one which preceded it. And so expecting the same product to go out in the same way and have the same impact is, you know, to my mind, you know, is farcically dumb.
And yeah, like you said, this new approach, this kind of more fresher, more youthful approach definitely does have its merits, and combining elements like news, commentary and comedy has proved a recipe for success with things like Saturday Night Live and The Daily Show. But yeah, The Project New Zealand just hasn't sort of figured out that balance yet, both tonally and pacing wise. It's still a little shaky. Would you agree?
I agree. Well, I think it's different to those shows. I mean, and in some ways that's like, The Project's probably made by, I don't know, 10 or 12 people, and, you know, the Daily Show had a staff of over 100. So, and it was reporting on America, you know, which is just orders of magnitude and media as a subject. So, you know, to a certain extent, it's a function of resource and subject matter. I also think the Daily Show sucked when it started, you know, and the project is actually, to a certain extent, by virtue of it being kind of a copy of an Australian format, which also sucked when it started and took a while to get going. It started probably as well as any current affairs show in recent memory, to my mind. Whether it can elevate from here, who knows? But I think it's come out well. Yes, it's shaky. I think it does have sort of tonal issues, particularly moving between serious and lighter subject. But I think they've got the casting right. Like, I really, Kanua Lloyd in particular, I have huge hopes for. I think she kind of, she just has this ability to get emotionally engaged with subjects and bring kind of personal perspectives in a kind of a sort of an unaffected, non-contrived way that I think feels new, and I think she'll continue to do that. Jesse, because he comes from a comedic background but also is a Radio New Zealand host, you know, he has a similar kind of balancing two different worlds, and Josh Thompson's just a deeply strange guy. And, you know, I think that, you know, that the chemistry of them, and then whoever the fourth is, assuming that they can get a good sort of group there, you know, it has a, you just look at what's happening on TVNZ, and, you know, with the sort of, you know, the cynicism of Mike Hosking and the general kind of nothing to see here style of reporting or topic choices that Seven Sharp pushes, and the fact that, you know, the project, for regardless of what you might think of it stylistically, it is, for the most part, viral videos aside, engaged with the actual events that matter and have happened that day, that it's not afraid of politics. Mm. So most Seven Sharp is. I think that, yeah, these are, you know, if you scratch the surface of it, behind the kind of e-news style a presentation, there's something there.
And, like, as with most franchises, obviously the New Zealand version of anything is gonna cop that direct comparison to the Australian version. So do you think we're kind of missing that astute political commentary that's so famous with the Australian version of the project? Do you think we should be trying to emulate them directly, or trying to figure out our own vibe?
I think having politics in it is really critical. I don't think it should be particularly, you know, ideally it won't be a sort of a partisan thing, but I think to shy away from that, from political commentary, would be a mistake. I think that's what Seven Sharp, and to a lesser extent Story, really missed, was the sense of their current affairs that was terrified of mentioning, you know, the government or the opposition. And so, you know, they'll grow into that. Like, that stuff is hard, getting it right. But, yeah, I have every confidence in them to do that. The thing is, we're talking about a show that's 3 days old, and it often takes years before people figure out exactly who they are and how it'll work. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, so kind of early on in its run, it has also seen a few cases of what some might call lazy journalism. Like, last night's episode saw the show using stories and caravans from Campbell Live being branded as their own Christchurch earthquake coverage. I think Pip Keane tweeted something about that yesterday, and rather than sending out their own reporter, they used this other footage. So what's sort of happened to the deeply personal venture of investigative journalism?
I mean, what's happened is there's just, like, there's journalism's good journalism is expensive, and the media has been absolutely savaged financially. I, on one level, I totally get where Pippa's coming from. You know, it must be hard seeing stories that you sweated on that got, you know, being kind of repackaged into something else. On another, you know, Pip and John work at Radio New Zealand now, where there is only one imperative, which is deliver great journalism to the widest possible audience. You know, they don't have they've got financial constraints in terms of the frozen budget, but they don't have financial constraints in terms of the company being shut down if they get it wrong or can't sell ads. So, you know, that's a bigger problem and a bigger issue, and one that any individual show can't possibly hope to solve. You'd love to think that they will be resourced to do investigative journalism, but realistically, realistically, I think it probably, even in terms of the format, wouldn't necessarily fit. But even if they just sort of look out into the world, you know, the broader journalistic world, and when there has been fantastic investigative journalism done, they can help elevate it and discuss it and, you know, credit the journalists and organisations that have done it and, you know, bring it to a wider audience that might not necessarily seek it out themselves. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think there's this, the problem is that slot will be haunted for a while yet by the spectre of John Campbell and Campbell Live and the work that those guys did. And so if you're narrowly comparing it to what they were able to do, not all the time, because Campbell Live had its share of, you know, wacky stories, silly, irrelevant stories, so people forget that, but it also had some of the best, most kind of emotionally resonant and engaged reporting that you'll ever see. And I don't think that's going to happen on the project for the most part, just because it doesn't, you know, work or hold up on that narrow comparative scale doesn't mean that it lacks for function or worth in a broader sense.
And, you know, just lastly, I think this is the most important question. You've got Shortland Street producing Television Gold over on TV2 every other week. I mean, poor Harry Warner's just been put in the most vulnerable of positions with cliffhangers like that. How is the project meant to compete? Can it compete?
I think it can. You know, like, I'm a TV critic. I write a review. I review a program, almost always a New Zealand program, for the Herald every week, and have done for over 2 years now. And honestly, quite rare for me to watch a show and go, I'd really like to watch a second episode of that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I sometimes do, I much more frequently don't. But with the project, I knew there was a sense of relief. There's this New Zealand show that's on five nights a week that is news adjacent, if not sort of hardcore news, that will be somewhere between pleasant and electrifying to watch on a nightly basis, and where I'm really curious about how the hosts will develop and the style and tone will develop. And that, you know, that's rare, especially for a nightly show to have that kind of I genuinely have that reaction. You know, I put it on series link, I don't do that. So it's going to get criticized for being news light, for being a product of its era, but people will see other malign intent in that. But, you know, the things that it's less good at are endemic in this era, and their societal and journalistic problems that one entity can't possibly solve. But the things that it's good at are actually really worthwhile. And if people just viewed it as an entity in and of itself rather than as a Campbell Live replacement, I think all but the most extreme people would have to grudgingly admit that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.